This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay. And we are the drive. And Philip Lindsay just reported that Pat Mahomes is owned by the mob and throws games. Unbelievable.
Oh, man. That one referee was.
Yeah, Tim Donahue. Yeah.
You can't tell me that's not going on, man.
You want to know what, man? Yeah, I don't want to believe that's true. But to believe that it could never happen or has had happened.
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm sounding like a fool.
That's like a tongue twister.
Yeah. Like, my buddy is, he was a college teammate of mine. And he turned into an FBI agent.
Okay.
And he told me a couple years ago, he said, you would never believe how much the mob is still involved with American culture.
Mm.
And, I'm not going to get specific where he's located, but he's in a location where there's water, and it's our country next to another country, which is Canada, because that's the only one that's that we're next to.
But, Zach, I'm going to have to check on you tonight.
But
you might be gone.
But he talks to me like, he's like, dude, there's this little triangle, and there are ships nonstop coming and going, and they sell anything from cigarettes to sex.
Yeah.
And it's like the underbelly of our society can be a nasty place. And, you know, the sports gambling stuff, it's definitely a new wrinkle. And I do believe, like, this Shohei Ohtani story, this has potential to be the largest story in all of sports of, like, the last little bit and the foreseeable future. When you have the face of the sport potentially in a sports gambling controversy, and the leagues are making too much money from the sports books. Americans are just betting on sports. That's just what we're doing now. We have for a while, but now the floodgates are just open. And I wonder if the largest controversy is still down the road, if it's still down the road in a such a meaningful way where it, like, breaks the competitive American sports spirit because six guys work together with the mob, or a Super Bowl is thrown, or something that you could never believe would ever be true, but ultimately comes into focus.
Well, let's focus on this. If Jake Paul beats Mike Tyson, it's rigged.
Jake Paul's gonna knock old Mike out. I told you that.
Did you not see Mike? Do you not see what he's doing?
Yeah, I saw him.
He said day four.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's day, like, four. I'm like, all right, Mike.
They're like crafted, like, workout. It's like Russ. It's like crafted workout videos. I want to see you in the sixth and seventh round and what 60-year-old Mike has for.
The disrespect.
It's not disrespect.
The disrespect.
It's just acknowledging the year 2024. And
I just wish Mike was sitting right in front of you right there. You said, Mike, I just need to see you in more of a environment, not just clips. What he would say.
I'm not saying that I can beat Mike Tyson in a fight.
He's the ultimate lawyer. Come here, Zach.
I just want to see what it looks like at 60 years old fighting a professional boxer who's 27. I just, you know, it's not 1994 anymore. All right. Well, we're going to have to make a bet when that comes down the line.
I'm not with the sports betting going on. It's rigged.
Well, if you do it within reason and have self-control, it can be fun.
Okay.
So just gamble responsibly, folks. Okay. Speaking of gambling, goodness. We have over-under win totals for NFL for next year. All right. How do the experts forecast the Broncos to be in 2024? All right. The highest win total, so these are out in the last 24 hours from DraftKings. The highest win totals in the NFL, 49ers, Baltimore, Kansas City, all have win totals at 11.5. So I know this is a new space for a lot of people. So for you to hit the over, quote unquote, those teams would have to win 12 games or more. And if you bet the under, they'd have to win 11 games or less, right? That's why they put that half, they call it the hook, right? So I'm looking at the list, man, and you gotta go to the bottom, man, to find the Denver Broncos.
Mm.
The Denver Broncos projected over under win total for 2024 is the second lowest in the entire league, tied with the Tennessee Titans, and it is 5.5 wins. That is the target win total. That, hey, if they won six games, it would go over. If they won five, it would go under.
Yeah.
And man, been covering this team for 7 years, never seen a number this low. In fact, it's the largest drop-off year-over-year of a full three games, as this came out last year. It was 8.5, and now it's 5.5.
See, I would, if it was me just guessing on how many games we would win this year, I probably would have said 6, because we don't have a quarterback right now. Jarrett Stidham's our quarterback. We don't know what he's about. They're still missing certain pieces. Now, they do have a couple pieces still attached to the team, where it's like you get more pieces, some of these younger players coming in and helping it with, putting together with some of these veterans. It could turn out to be a better year than we think. Better year meaning maybe 9 games.
Okay. That'd be the first winning season since 2016.
Yes. But for me, it's going to be, I think that Sean can pull out 6 games this year. They're gutting the whole place out. They're gutting the whole entire house out. They're renovating it. It's going to take some time. We need to find out our franchise quarterback and who that's going to be, and then we can start to kind of build things up.
Yeah. I view, how I will ultimately view the Broncos season, I don't know how to view it yet because I don't know who's playing quarterback. If it's Bo Nix and you win 6 games, there might be a bunch of optimism built in there and goodwill building up to the following year. If it's Jarrett Stidham or Ryan Tannehill and you win 6 games, my criticism of Sean Payton, the volume of that criticism, it's going to get turned up because you moved on from Russ, which I co-signed that and all that stuff, but you took the largest dead cap in the history of NFL football because why? Because it gave you a better chance to win. And if you go with a veteran and you win 6 games, when you said moving on was and saying goodbye to Justin Simmons and you're trading Jerry Jeudy and you're making hard decisions as a franchise because you had to adjust to that dead cap, but ultimately gave you a better chance to win, and you go with a veteran and don't win, there's going to be some real criticism going to Sean Payton.
Man, I was just thinking, I'm having flashbacks, not even flashbacks. I'm just thinking okay, we want J.J. McCarthy, right? That's what we're thinking. We're thinking that's what Sean loves. That's who Sean loves.
Yeah.
But now everybody's kind of talking about how J.J. McCarthy is a Cinderella story. Everybody's loving him.
Yeah.
And he could be picked maybe number 2 in the draft. The Denver Broncos don't have enough to get up to number 2. If they don't love anybody else but J.J. McCarthy, is Sean just willing to just bite the bullet, play with Jarrett Stidham? Because he truly believes in Jarrett Stidham more than we think he does. He goes and gets another player to go at number 12. Where are we going to be at then?
If you're going with Stidham and you don't draft a quarterback, you're still in no man's land.
Well, also, as you said, that you're going to be more harsh on Sean with Jarrett Stidham because he's quote unquote a vet. But is he really a vet? Because I'm looking at this as 4 games. He's still a puppy. He's still considered a rookie, you know? And so if they win 6-7 games with Jarrett Stidham, is that still we're moving up in the right direction? Because it's Jarrett Stidham with 7 games.
Yeah, but Jarrett Stidham has been in the NFL since 2019. It's going to be the 2024 season. So, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of games played, but... And you've made this argument for rookie quarterbacks. Hey, let these guys marinate. Let these guys develop without playing. We've talked about Sean's system. Could be difficult. Chase Daniels on a podcast said, hey, it takes you a couple of years to get it. And that's why he doesn't believe you'll see Sean play a rookie. We'll see about that. But if he's already been in the system for an entire year, that counts for something.
Okay.
From a marination standpoint.
Yeah, makes sense.
And he's been around NFL offenses for a few years. I mean, he's 27 years old. But you're right. He doesn't have the games played. But if you go that direction and you go the Stidham route, and you don't draft a quarterback and you win 6-7 games. I don't care if you win 8 games.
Yeah.
You're not. Man, Stidham would have to ball out. And we'd have to be all agreeing, holy moly, Deshaun was right this whole time. And maybe that does happen. But I feel like that's doubtful.
But, what I'm also getting at is J.J. McCarthy is the guy. We may not get him.
No.
Truly.
No. No. You listen to Tom Pelissero on NFL Network say this.
Really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number 2 is J.J. McCarthy. So So a lot of drama still to come.
I mean, dude, whoa.
So if we don't get JJ McCarthy, you just want him just going to get another quarterback? If he's not in love with another quarterback,
no.
That's the issue.
Yeah. That's why it goes back to the conversation yesterday of, like, if you're going to move up, you have to be able to fall in love with two different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I know some people tell you, oh, there's no way that could happen. If you move up, you have to make sure it can happen. You're the bachelor about to give out that final rose, and you don't know who you're going to give it to 15 minutes before you have to give it out. That's where it's got to be some dual sort of love of, like, man, I freaking love Drake May. I love this kid.
Yeah.
I think he's Josh Allen. I'm seeing this guy's arm. I mean, holy smokes. He's got a bazooka. And if JJ's going to go number two, it's like, could you get Drake May at number four? But this idea that you're assured your guy if you move up to number four, that's just not true.
Oh.
It's not true. And you don't know what's going to happen until draft night. So we've been knowing it's not an ideal situation for Denver, but it's doubly, if not triply, not ideal if you love JJ McCarthy and this was your guy 6 weeks ago when you arrogantly said, we're going to knock this thing out of the park, and now he's rising. And if both those things are true, if that's the apple of your eye and he's rising all the way up to number two, you can move up to number four and be left out in the cold.
Still not get him.
If you don't love another quarterback. So it's like, and to think that that's not the scenario that's playing out here is probably naive. And if you move up to four, it's going to cost a lot, Phil. It's going to cost a lot. So there's no, that's why there's, what makes it fascinating and sometimes on the wrong day you're fearful about it, is there's not some perfect exit ramp for the Broncos to get off this quarterbackless highway.
And that's where we have to start. We have to start with a quarterback. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team, you're not going to be able to go anywhere. But if we get that rookie quarterback that we believe is going to be the franchise quarterback, then we have a starting point.
Yes, a starting point. And let's not forget, you draft a rookie quarterback, you already have a top 10 offensive line.
Yep.
And so that's a great building block, a foundational block to move forward, even if it's with Stidham. You want a great look at Stidham because you think that he's the guy? He's going to have a top 10 offensive line in front of him. It's a great place to start. So it all is not lost, but there's no clear avenue to solve this riddle that's been puzzling Broncos country for years here. Kamaje, what's the RamosLaw.com text line saying here?
All right, they want you guys' opinion on something. This is from Christian from the 303.
What's up, Christian?
He says Sean Payton would skip out on a quarterback in the first round this year, and if Brock is there, he'll draft Brock. Then he goes into the season with Sparky and Ben DiNucci. They just go ahead and just full on this thing. 2025, get the number one pick, draft Shedeur Sanders. Then here's the kicker. They take their second round pick of next year, their 2026 first round pick, PS2, trade up to the number four overall pick and get Travis Hunter.
I mean, that's just insane fantasy football.
That sounds like a Buff fan.
It sounds like someone who started drinking too early. You just can't plan that far out in advance in the NFL. Been saying that for a while now.
You're dealing with people's careers. They're not willing to wait to win, you know, especially Sean. Sean's a legacy guy. As much as we want to talk about Russell Wilson being a legacy guy, Sean wants to be that first coach to win a Super Bowl on two different teams.
Yep.
So he doesn't want, like, Sean's getting older. He does not want to be in this rebuild. He didn't think he was going to be in a rebuild. Last year, he was talking about going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year now, we've done gutted everything out. Do you think Sean's okay with that? No, he has no choice.
Yeah. You want to know what, though? I will say this. I am as critical, you know, as I've been with some of the moves that Sean Payton has made, game day decisions against the Patriots, against the Raiders, et cetera, calling the wrong plays because you can't see. And all the stuff just bumping his gums too much. At the end of the day, though, I still believe in Sean Payton, the football coach.
Yeah.
And I think he was rusty, and I think he's flawed, and sometimes puts his foot in his mouth. But as a football coach, I still believe that Sean Payton can be the right guy. And Broncos are winning more than five or six football games this year. I believe that. I believe that.
What do you think? What you thinking?
You know, we'll see when we know who's playing quarterback, but like just right on its face, right on face value, DraftKings has the over-under at 5.5, over. And I don't care if it's Stidham or a rookie, because there was some things here this past year with Denver that it got so significantly better that never gets talked about on like SportsCenter or the debate shows. They were a more physical football team.
Yep.
They took on the identity of Sean Payton. That was so crystal clear year over year. The competent nature of special teams. Now you can laugh at that and say, but that's a microcosm to your football team. Yeah. So I hope that the entire football operation is moving in the right direction. And you're saying that it's 5.5. Give me the over. And I don't care who's playing quarterback. You have a top 10 offensive line. I believe the running game is going to be better this year. And I trust the football coach is going to improve on what was already an improved operation year over year. And just sight unseen with the quarterback, I'll go over this number.
Yeah, it's an over number. I think that they're going to win at least 6 games. I think their ceiling is squeaking out 8. They're still not going to go to a playoff this year. But it's his first year under another quarterback, whether it's Sparky or a rookie. And so now we have to see what Sean's going to build. And Sean's not dumb. And he's been around for a very long time, and he does know how to coach football. He does. So I'm like you, Zach. We have to trust him.
Have to trust him. All right, I got a question for you. Is your bracket busted, Philip Lindsay? Is your bracket? How's your bracket doing? You doing all right?
I'm still perfect, baby. What you talking about?
Stop it. Stop it. I saw the standings.
Oh, I know.
Do you still have your national champion going?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Me too. If your bracket is busted, no worries. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game on Thursday, March 28th. All right, as we shift gears here, if you want to react to anything we said, you can hit up the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Get ready for one of our teams in Colorado to be under some of the brightest lights ever. Literally. We'll tell you why next. All right, I want to mention one more thing in relation to the quarterback conversation and the draft, because I had it in my head. Sometimes you just get rolling and you just lose focus. In terms of moving up,
yeah,
Sean Payton said it's realistic, and I know a lot of Broncos country is hoping that they move up. But just because you want to move up doesn't mean you get to move up. You need a willing trade partner who says, yeah, we'll trade out of the top 5. And, you know, I thought Stink made a good point this morning as I was listening to Mike and Mark. He said, you know, the Broncos, they have future picks, but they don't have immediate draft capital. And if you're talking to someone like Minnesota, who does have 2 first-round picks this year, these NFL operations, they're like, soon as you get hired, it's almost like the hourglass gets turned over. It's like you need to find a way to win in 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, the Broncos have draft capital in a way that they haven't in the last couple of years, but it's not immediate. And if you're a franchise that needs to figure it out, and you do a deal with the Broncos, you might be acquiring picks that the next coach gets to use.
Yeah.
So that's also working against Denver. I'm not saying that just to be like negative or be fearmonger or something like that. That's a reality.
Oh, it's a fact.
It's just a fact, and deserves to get mentioned that is also working against Denver.
Yeah, I mean, Denver is definitely not in a situation that we want to be in. We're the 12th pick of the draft, okay, and there's other teams that are willing to give up more capital right away to jump in front of us, like the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to get a quarterback, and they're being aggressive. They're showing their hand a little bit. And they're one that is going to probably monitor what Sean's going to do, but they're going to move up to try to probably get that number 4 spot so they can get the quarterback that they think is going to be there. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see here. We shall see. It's going to be a fascinating month leading up to the draft. In April. Okay, I said going to the last break, Phil, get ready for one of our teams to be under some really bright lights and maybe the brightest ever. and this is no joke. This is no joke. CU women are going to play Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday. Saturday afternoon. Oof. Saturday afternoon on network television. 1:30 here, 3:30 Eastern, and it's on ABC. And I believe, well, I already know, more people are going to watch this game on Saturday than watched the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup. That's just going to happen, so prepare yourselves for that. This past year, Stanley Cup, 2.6 million people watched it. There was more people watching Caitlin Clark last night on a Monday night on cable than twice nearly what this past year Stanley Cup did. 2.6 million people watched Stanley Cup in 2023 when Vegas won it. 4.9 million people watched Caitlin Clark on a Monday night on cable.
That's wild. One person, Caitlin Clark, has changed everything. And now everybody knows about her. So when it's on regular TV on a Saturday, Zach, it's gonna have record. It's going to be record views.
Yeah, it will be. And like, so it's just how big of a record. Will this, again, serious question, where will Saturday fall among the most watched women's college basketball games of all time?
It will be the biggest.
I think it will be too. I think it will be too. And because, again, this isn't cable. You know, and the barometer in my mind is like my mom in Buffalo. She doesn't have cable. She has one cable.
Yeah.
So, but she can watch this game.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be a huge story, and it's just a matter of how big. And you look at what the numbers were last year when Caitlin Clark was exploding. Well, now this is the next year where she's on everyone's radar. And I think Saturday has potential to be not only record-breaking, but I think there's a chance that as many people watch Colorado women's basketball against Iowa that watched the World Series this past year.
Mm. And the World Series was
8.5 million.
8.5.
Yep. I think it's going to flirt with it. It might not beat it. I think it's going to flirt with it.
See, yeah, I think it is. I think it's going to beat it. I think that they're going to have at least 9 million viewers that view this game. Because you're not just dealing with fans of the team of Colorado and Iowa. You're dealing with a Saturday, nothing really going on. Caitlin Clark, which this could be her last game.
Right.
All right? Possibility of it being her last game. Everybody wanted to know what she's going to do. Is she going to hit 5 from half court? We don't know that. You know, girls, boys, men, women, everybody's going to be viewing it. Do you think it's going to be one of the most betted games?
Yes.
Okay.
I like in terms of like women's sports, yeah. I think it might be the most bet women's basketball game of all time. I mean, it's going to be record breaking.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be historical. And I do believe, and you know, it's a Hot Take Tuesday presented by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. I think it is Caitlin Clark's last game.
Mm.
I think J.R. Payne and CU is going to upset him.
Oh, fighting words.
I'm as serious as a heart attack. She's phenomenal, but I don't know how sustainable it is scoring half your team's points at the highest level of the sport in the Sweet 16.
And she's been getting a lot more emotional. You know that I've noticed that she's getting a lot more emotional because she's not getting some of those calls that she thinks she should be. At one point, her father had to tell her to shut up. I seen that. You know, and some people probably seen it as well. Yeah. So, like, she's getting emotional. It's one of these things where she knows that these are coming down to some of her final games.
Yeah.
She wants to win it, and she's willing to do whatever it takes to win it. So she might press. And there's where the Colorado Buffaloes, the women's team,
yeah,
could take advantage of this and win.
Yeah. And I know some people, and I don't even need to look at the RamosLaw.com text line, because when we brought this up earlier, I saw some of the responses. There is still a large portion of sports fans who are like, women's sports suck, not interested in all this stuff. And I get it. You don't want to watch women's sports? Don't watch women's sports. Yeah. I don't give a damn. But what we're seeing is the market is speaking. The market itself is speaking, and it's not a whisper. It's screaming. Mm. There is an incredible newfound appetite,
yeah,
for women's sports, and it's happening in the millions. Phil, last year when Caitlin Clark was in the Elite Eight against Louisville, the number did, this was last year,
yeah,
as she's coming up from the masses standpoint. Yeah. She's been a star for years, but it outrated any, it was on ESPN, it outrated any NBA game the entire season on ESPN. That's like, that wouldn't, if you said that to me 3 years ago.
Not, you'd be like, he's lying.
Yeah, forget 30 years ago or 10 years ago, 3 years ago. I'd be like, no way.
Yeah.
Phil, LSU South Carolina on a Sunday on cable.
Yeah.
Outrated NBA game, Miami Heat, who was just in the NBA Finals against the Spurs, Victor Wembanyama, number one overall pick, and it's like an oddity that people like want to watch, like he's like at the circus or something. The Iowa LSU, not Caitlin Clark, it outrated the NBA game that was on network TV. That's a cable game outrating network, and it's women's college basketball over an NBA game that just had a team in the finals and had the number one pick in the draft. It's this should be on everyone's radar because seeing is believing.
Well, it should be. And for those people that are kind of downplaying it, it's like you better get with the program, get with the new, because it's coming now. All right. MLB only had 8.5, Zach, was it?
8.5 million.
Viewers.
Yeah.
All right. In the World Series.
Yeah, World Series.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
In the World Series.
Yep.
All right. Hockey. Was it last year?
Yeah.
How many viewers did they have, Zach?
It was 2.6 million on average.
Okay, 2.6 million.
That just got doubled up last night.
Caitlin Clark brought 4.9 viewers to a game on Monday.
Monday night on cable.
So what are people talking about? That game is going to be huge, and if you're not a part of it, which a lot of them that are talking that stuff are going to be because they're betting on the games, right? It is what it is. Just get with the new.
Wild. We'll see what happens Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a huge stage, and what an opportunity for Colorado women's basketball to be the answer of a trivia question for the next 100 years. Who is the all-time leading scorer? Caitlin Clark, a star star. Who was her last game against? That's the opportunity that CU women have on Saturday. All right, what are the five things we're watching for tonight? We'll tell you where our eyes are going coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right, we'll get to what we're watching for here in a second. But I have to tell you, if your bracket is busted, no worries. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game on Thursday, March 28th. I want to pass along a number here that we just figured out during the break from behind the glass. We were just talking about the explosion of women's sports, and the numbers back it up. Guys, I'm not telling you this because this is how I wish it was or want it to be. I'm just telling you because this is what it is.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not like the biggest into women's sports. I'm just not. KJ behind the glass is. We're just different. I'll be watching this game on Saturday, though. But here's what I wanted to pass along. More people watched the national championship in women's basketball last year than watched the World Series. And what do we say, 9 million?
9.9 million.
9.9 million. Guys, that is 1.5 million people less than watched the NBA Finals when the Denver Nuggets won it all last year. So I'm just, again, this
women's
is what it is.
Women's sports in general, Zach. Women's sports in general is exploding. And at the end of the day, everybody just needs to get on board. Get on board, because it's about having fun, watching some sports, and enjoying yourself.
Will Peterson, DenverSports.com. Before we move on to our the Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing, what do you make of the dynamics of this conversation? Do you have an opinion? Do you have a hypothesis of why it's exploding this way? Just curious for your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I think it's fascinating because numbers are numbers, right? Yeah. So no one can argue numbers with you. This is what people are watching, right? And it shows you the star power of Caitlin Clark. I mean, she is so much bigger than anything in the men's game right now that people want to watch her. And you throw in teams like LSU and Kim Mulkey becoming this mega villain that it just has, frankly, more compelling storylines right now than the men's bracket does.
How about this? Well, Caitlin Clark's definitely, we've been saying this for months, she's the biggest star in college basketball, men or women. Here's my question. Is she the biggest star in college sports if you included football?
No, I think more people would know who Caleb Williams is. But I don't think it's that big of a gap.
I don't
Yeah, Caleb Williams still would take the cake, but Caitlin Clark is right there, neck and neck.
I think Caitlin Clark's a bigger star than Caleb Williams. And here's my test. Here's my test. If you're at the mall and you're in the food court and you're right in the middle of it, and you have a chance to go have a burrito with Caitlin Clark or Caleb Williams, who's your answer?
Caleb Williams. I want to know what's going through his head.
I want to talk to you about that tomorrow, by the way, and just ask some uncomfortable questions as it relates to an NFL locker room. We'll put a pin in that.
Yeah.
Well, Peterson, you're in the middle of Park Meadows Mall, and Caitlin Clark is having a burrito at one end of the food court, and Caleb Williams is on the other end. Who do you want to split a burrito with?
Ah, man, I think I'd have to pick Caleb Williams and tell him he demands he only plays for the Denver Broncos next year.
Seriously, punchline aside, is it Caleb Williams?
I'm more of a football guy. Okay. So, yeah, I would go Caleb Williams. Okay. But that's not me dismissing Caitlin Clark.
No,
It would be awesome to hang out with Caitlin Clark.
Drew Spivak, who would you rather have a beer with, Caleb Williams or Caitlin Clark? You're at the bar. One is at the one end, and the other's at the other.
It's Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams.
It's Caleb Williams, yeah, easily. He's fascinating. Caitlin Clark doesn't really, like, fascinate me at all. She's just awesome at what she does.
Okay.
Caleb Williams is kind of a quirky dude.
KJ, I already know your answer, I think.
He's definitely Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
Come on, Jay.
God, this has a Twitter poll. This has a Twitter poll written on it. This has a Twitter poll written on it.
I think you just go with who's the most famous college athlete.
Okay.
Because who else would be in that conversation? I mean, you'd probably have to put Jaden Daniels in there because he won the Heisman. He played at LSU.
Nope. I think Jaden Daniels could walk through a Park Meadows Mall and not be stopped.
It's Caitlin Clark.
I genuinely believe that, by the way. I'm not dumping on your... I think that...
He won the most important trophy in college sports.
Will Caitlin Clark be one of the most known athletes to ever play in college?
Yes, definitely. She already is. Yes, 1,000%.
Do you think she'd be a bigger name than someone like Reggie Bush?
No. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I mean, this is where we're at. I don't even know the answer to that question.
It's wild.
All right.
It's also the social media era.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a lot easier to know Caitlin Clark now than it was to know Reggie Bush 20 years ago.
Yeah, true. Very true. All right, what are we looking for tonight? The Drive's Top 5 of the Night brought to you by High Five Plumbing. Philip Lindsay, what will you be watching for tonight?
Yeah. Colorado Avalanche.
I like it.
Playing against Montreal.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see what Onanen can do. He just got paid. You know, he'll be between the pipes tonight.
Yep.
See what he does. You know, he got a little bit more money in his pocket. I might have to ask him for a couple dollars. But also, because it's a home game, can McKinnon keep this streak alive?
Yeah. So I said to Drew during a break, I'm like, it feels like there's just, and maybe this is just me, it feels like there's like some weird night coming. It feels like some weird night coming. You think of some of the nights where he's got at the last second.
I know.
Right? Remember that? It was like the assist at the end of overtime to score. Who did he give it to?
Lehkonen.
Yeah. That was just like a couple weeks ago. There was like the empty net where they're like, oh, we got to get it to Nate. Like 10 seconds left. Got to give it to. Or maybe Nate assisted on an empty net goal.
I think it was an assist.
Yeah, assisted. So it's like gotten close. And like it's a night like tonight where Montreal is supposed to stink. But you want to know what? They have 12 overtime losses. I just want to throw that out there. 12 different times regulation ended without a victor, and they ended up losing. So this should be a blowout, like we saw this past week when they pounded, who was it, Columbus 6-1, outshot them 1-10. It should be that, but we'll see. Will Peterson, what do you got?
Well, it could also go to overtime at 5-5. So in that case, he would extend the point streak.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about just a weird anomaly night where it's like things don't break for McKinnon. That's all.
I got you. I think he's going to pass Gretzky. Different story for a different day. Guys, I am watching for the next great sports betting scandal to drop tonight because we seemingly get one a day now. So what will be the next one? It kind of has March 2020 vibes where every day something really bad was happening with COVID. March 2024 could be the fall of sports betting because every day something really bad is happening.
Dude, you just reminded me of March 2020. Can't believe that was 4 years ago.
Bro, that's when Rudy Gobert was touching all the mics and everything.
Oh my gosh, we were on the air downtown at the time working with Stokely, covering the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And it came across the screen, Duke is withdrawing. And then it was like Kentucky's withdrawing. And it was like, wait, well, what, like... and then the Ivy League. It was the Ivy League. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The Ivy League is canceling their postseason tournament. They were the first to do it, I think. And I was like, oh, my God. And we're sitting there on the air, like, going to break and coming back like, guys, we have more bad news. It was not ideal. Drew Spivak behind the glass. What do you got, man?
I'll make it quick, guys. Obviously, I'm going to have my eye on the Avalanche game tonight, but I'm going to watch another hockey game tonight with two teams that are battling for the wild card spots in the Western Conference, the Nashville Predators, the Vegas Golden Knights, going at it. Two possible first-round opponents for the Avs.
I really like that. Little outside the box, but not too outside. I've decided, in addition to the Dallas Stars for childhood deep-seated issues, Vegas is my least favorite team. Their long-term IR, their little gimmick here for year after year after year, I can't stand it. Come on, Jay, what do you got behind the glass?
All right, tonight I'm going to keep my eye on OKC New Orleans. The reason I like this game specifically is because OKC has a very tough schedule coming down the stretch here, and I believe that if they lose tonight to the number four seed Pelicans, they will then fall into the three seed, and the Pelicans, they're coming. So I think we got to keep our eye on that, because Denver's position in the one seed, and I don't think they're looking back, but who's under them could really matter.
All right, I like it. Guys, we got to go. Who are you working with tonight, Will?
Marcello Romano.
Oh, that'll be fun. I like when you guys team up together. Phil, fun day. Flew by again, man.
I know.
We'll do this again tomorrow. Handful of stuff that we didn't get to today that I want to get to tomorrow. Hopefully you guys had a great Tuesday. Thanks for making us a small part of your day. And we step aside because Denver Sports Tonight is coming up next.